Good evening, I'm Michael Carey. Welcome to the program. Tonight we will be talking with candidates running for contested seats on the Anchorage Assembly. Later in the program you will hear from candidates who are not facing opponents. Joining me this evening is KSK reporter Daisha Eaton. During this segment we will meet candidates for the Eagle River Assembly seats, Amy Demboski, Bob Lupo, and Peter Mulcahy. Each candidate will have a 1 minute opening statement. Ms. Demboski, we'll start with you.
Thank you for having me. My name is Amy Demboski and I'm running for assembly for Chugach Eagle River. I was raised in Chugach Eagle River. I graduated from Chugach High School in 1994 and I've been volunteering in our community since I was 15. I'm 36 now, so that's over 20 years of community service. I'm running because I've been involved in the community for so long. I've served as the Chugach Community Council President. I'm serving currently as the Board of Supervisors appointee from the Mayor's Office on the Parks and Rec Board of Supervisors, as well as the Chair of the Budget Advisory Commission. And I'm running to bring a perspective of limited government. I believe the role of government is public safety, infrastructure, and education. But I know we can't do those things if our fiscal house isn't in order. So it's important to me that we get back to basic fiscal accountability in government, and that's why I'm running.
Thank you, Mr. Lupo.
Well, Bob Lupo here, and you will recognize me. I've been here before. I've lived in Eagle River for 29 years in the same house on Fireball Street, and I've watched that city grow. I'm 72 years old. I'm retired federal service and also United States Army, and also had service during Vietnam with the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy. And I hold 3 degrees, electronics, philosophy, and anthropology. I taught at UAA for 9 years, taught electronics at Matsu College for UAA. I'm the chairman and of the Veterans Party of Alaska. I should have had everything written down, shouldn't I?
Maybe we better stop there then.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Mulcahy, 1 minute, please.
Well, thank you very much for hosting the event. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience. Well, as you know, Debbie Oceander served this community with distinction for many years. So when Debbie personally asked me to run for the assembly, I was honored and I accepted. But it makes sense. My whole life has been about serving the community. I've got 28 years in the military, including being the Fort Richardson Post Commander. Since I've retired, I've had leadership roles in the private sector, leading both nonprofit and for-profit organizations. I've distinguished myself in the volunteer, having been on the military liaison to the Anchorage School Board. Governor Parnell appointed me to AmFest. Mayor Sullivan appointed me to Planning and Zoning. The people of Chugach and Birchwood elected me to the Board of Supervisors for the Chugach Volunteer Fire Department. I'm currently president of the Chugach Eagle River Chamber of Commerce. I've been a Rotary president, Boy Scout district chair. List goes on. All of this experience has helped prepare me. So now I look forward to the opportunity continuing to serve this community on the assembly. So I ask for your vote on April 2nd. Thanks.
Thank you. Daisha Eaton will ask the first question.
And this will be for Ms. Demboski. As I'm sure you all know, Mayor Dan Sullivan has proposed a number of changes in municipal labor law that have sparked loud and continuous opposition from unions and their allies. Do you support the mayor's proposed changes, and why or why not?
I do. Well, one thing that we see, I have a unique perspective. My husband is an Anchorage firefighter. And what I recognize coming into this race, you know, the mayor, many other conservatives on the assembly have endorsed me because they realize that I look at things, I'm data driven. I look at things by numbers, and what we see is employment costs are rising at a rate that's outpacing the rate in which the tax cap can grow. So really when I look at it, I understand we really have to get our fiscal house in order to be sustainable in the long run. And as the chair of the Budget Advisory Commission, these are things we've been working on the last couple of years. And you know, I think it's a good direction we're going in. Do I think it's perfect? No, but I know just by talking to the current assembly members, they're going to be making amendments and changes to some of those more contentious issues. But I do support it, and I think it's a responsible measure, especially fiscally.
Okay, and Mr. Lupo, how about you? Same question.
Yeah, I've been in a union, in 3 different unions, and it seems to me that all they ever did was take my money and made their union leaders richer. Now, there was need for unions in the beginning when we had problems with safety, but we have OSHA now that takes care of safety in the workplace. I don't believe that any union should have the license to hold their employer hostage. I think that what they need to do is they can negotiate a deal for their wages, for their benefits, but don't ever think that that they're untouchable. Look what happened with the Wonder Bread people. You know, they wound up, here was a union, and all of a sudden there was no company. So I congratulate the mayor on taking a stance that is beneficial for the city, even though he knew it would be unpopular. And I salute him for that.
All right, Mr. Mulcahy.
Well, absolutely. I support the goal of getting the balance back between for the negotiation and getting our costs under control. The initial version had several problems with it. I think they fixed it, significant fixes with the first revision. And then I support the delay because data is important, but also people are important. And this affects the livelihoods of a lot of folks, at both the taxpayers and the livelihood of the employees. So taking that delay to get the words right, to get this thing so it's meaningful and something that we can sustain and live with after the fact, I support that delay. And I think that we'll get the correct amendments in place so that we can pass this thing and then continue on and work with it afterwards.
I'll ask the next question. We'll start with Mr. Lupo, then go to Mr. Mulcahy and Ms. Demboski. If you could keep it to 30 seconds in your responses, please, that would help. The mayor believes in managed competition that would allow private employers to compete with municipal employees for municipal jobs and programs. Would you support managed competition? Mr. Lupo first.
Well, you know, I would support anything that's going to be better for the city, and for the taxpayers that are paying for an individual to do a particular job, well, they should get the best individual that's available for it. So I would say it should be open to everyone. If you have a position and you have one individual that's more qualified for it, then that's the individual should be in that position.
Mr. Mulcahy, 30 seconds.
A lot of experience with managed competition. When I was the Fort Richards Post Commander, we did three of our largest directorates. But it has to be done right, and I think one of the largest oppositions to the way it was originally proposed was it wasn't well defined. If you define it right, where the incumbent gets to write the statement of work, the incumbent gets to implement whatever efficiencies they can identify during that process, and then where it's set up where the competition has to beat the incumbent by about typically 10%. If you define those rules, set them out carefully, then I think it can be very worked, and it's most of the feedback I've received from unions is favorable in that regard.
Ms. Demboski.
Yes, I do. I support managed competition, but like Pete was saying, one of the things we have to make sure is guidelines are in place. You have to have guidelines that say if we can bid out, we can also eliminate staff maybe that we don't need anymore. So it's important to be able to get a good return on investment for taxpayers. Taxpayers, they want a good service, and whether it comes from the public employees or whether it comes from, you know, private sector, they want a good return on their investment. And I think that's the ultimate goal.
Back to Dave Sheehan for the next question.
Let's start with Mr. Mulcahy. Is the financing of municipal government secure, or do we need to make some changes, for example, diversify our tax base?
Well, I'm not in favor of any new taxes. I think that we've looked at the opportunity to implement some kind of sales tax over the years, and the public just doesn't support it. Basically, they don't trust government. You don't want to put another tax in. So we need to keep the taxes, the revenue side is, and we need to focus on the expense side, get the expenses under control, as we've been talking about with Proposition 37, managed competition, shared services, those kind of things. Let's get the expenses under control. The revenues, again, they are what they are. That people won't accept new taxes.
All right, Ms. Demboski.
I do think that the people will not accept a diversified tax base simply because people that I talk to when I go to door to door, they're constantly saying if we let them have a sales tax, what we'll see is a high sales tax and a high property tax. And the people in my community already have high enough property taxes. So a diversified tax is just going to mean higher taxes for all of us. But with that said, I think one of my key goals is to bring property taxes down. Property taxes are a high burden, and I don't think it's equally spread out amongst the population. So, I mean, it's a challenge in my community, but I wouldn't support another tax.
Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. This is the land of the free. It's not the land of the free lunch. Any intelligent person knows that it takes money to operate a city, and any reasonable person would not be adverse to paying their fair share. So I think that if you want something, you have to be willing to pay for it. This is not a socialistic state. So when you want a particular service, be willing to pay for it. If you don't want it, then let the assembly know and maybe it can get eliminated. So that's where I stand on this here.
Okay, thank you. Now, this time around, we'll start with you, Ms. Demboski. Briefly evaluate our police and emergency services. Are they doing the job we expect of them?
I think they are. I think they're doing a good job. The challenge that I have is a fiscal challenge. When we look at APD over the course of a 10-year period, we can see in 2002 their budget was just about $46 million. In 2013, with just about the same number of staff, their budget is over $100 million. So we have to start really nailing down these driving costs that are rising in these departments. The services, I think, are good. Can they be improved? I think we're always looking for improvements. But I think ultimately, in order to be sustainable and to have a safe community, we have to make sure that these budgets are sustainable. And that type of growth in such a short time is really, really alarming.
Mr. Lupo.
Well, I think Emergency Services does an outstanding job, and I support them fully. I would enhance them in Eagle River. We have a single fire department, and I remember the mayor trying to eliminate firemen, nine firemen, three on each shift for ladder truck 11. And I thought that was awful because he just wanted to move them from Eagle River to Anchorage and eliminate our fire truck out there. And I fought that, and thank goodness the assembly saw that was the right way to go to keep our firemen. So I think anybody that puts their lives on the line should probably get the best salaries in the city. They should be making more money than the mayor. I strongly support any of our emergency services, and I always will.
Mr. Mulcahy.
I think they're doing a fantastic job. I'm especially proud, as I mentioned earlier, I'm on the Board of Supervisors of the Chugiak Volunteer Fire Department. We provide fire service and emergency services out in Chugiak, and we do it just like with the Road Board and the Park Service Board. That is something that we're very proud of out there in Chugiak. Even we need to protect that little bit of autonomy that we have out there. Really proud of that. Can we do things to improve the police service? Yeah, I think there's some things. We're moving in the direction of community service. I support Mark Mew's efforts to do that. But there's still some things we can do to make that more efficient, and some of the things that we are asking police to do that could possibly be done by someone less qualified than a uniformed officer. Make more efficiencies.
Thank you. Deshe Eden, once more.
For Mr. Lupo, alcohol continues to be involved in a disproportionate percentage of crime, and it causes a lot of other problems. What can be done to reduce the damage that alcohol does in our community?
Oh, I have a solution for this. What we can do right now, what is being done is if you want to purchase alcohol, you show your driver's license, picture ID. And if you've been convicted of a DUI, you'll get a driver's license with a red stripe on it. But your driver's license, your original license, is good for 5 years. Now, what's to stop somebody from getting a duplicate license and then later on getting convicted of a DUI, and then when to buy alcohol, they show the original license that doesn't have the red stripe on it? So what I propose is that we have a system, and I've researched this, it will cost about $2 million a year, where you have a state ID for purchasing alcohol, and it's renewed automatically every 90 days unless you have been convicted of drunk in public or a DUI, and then your next license will not be received until
You're going to have to wrap it up, Mr. Lupo.
Let's move to Mr. Mulcahy, your solutions for alcohol-related problems in our community.
Well, that's, you know, if I had the easy answer, I'd be probably president or someone. That's a challenge that with the society is facing. What I did in Fort Richardson when I got there, we were leading the army in violent domestic violence, in the serious domestic violence, and we were addressing it through the health and social services folks. I said, that's not working. That's the traditional answer. So I brought in everybody, all the leadership, and we looked at from the outdoor rec folks to the safety, to the drug and alcohol, to the school represent, and brought in the whole community to take a look at how can we address this thing, and with creative solutions. And we came up with several things that were very effective, and within 6 months we were completely off the Army's radar. We had not eliminated domestic, but we had dropped it down so significantly, and we were one of the lowest rates across the Army. So that's that same kind of holistic approach of bringing in various stakeholders to come up with the solutions, I think is we can improve the situation.
Ms. Demboski.
Well, I think a holistic approach is important. I mean, people have to be able to talk about these issues, but it also comes back to personal responsibility and accountability. We have a lot of laws on the books that deal with alcohol, community, you know, domestic violence and different issues, and people are responsible, but we have to, as a community, be able to engage and openly discuss these things. But when it comes down to it, I don't know that the government's the solution. I think the community is the solution, and I think individuals, when they take responsibility from themselves, and there's punishments for the crimes they commit, I think that really ultimately is going to do it.
Okay, it'll be my turn, and we'll start with Mr. Mulcahy. Title 21 is now the law for land use development. In your view, is the version of Title 21 the Assembly and the Mayor passed and approved adequate, or do we need to make additional changes?
We will need to make additional changes. I've been on the Planning and Zoning Commission for 18 months. When I first got there was when the mayor's amendments, after he hired his consultant, when that hit Planning and Zoning, and we were asked just to pass those, and I think Chapter 10, and we looked at it and said, no, there's been so many changes and it's provisionally adopted that we need to relook this thing cover to cover. So much time has passed, so many changes, and we will spend another year going cover to cover through that, went back to the Assembly, and it is significantly improved over the provisionally adopted, but there's still things to be done. The land use map needs to be reviewed. The role of the Urban Design Commission has to be better defined. And I think the design criteria manual, which is the guideline for all the developers and even your remodeling your own home, that thing does not currently have any kind of review process. That all has to be worked. So there's still a lot of work to be done on Title 20 as Title 21 as we move
forward. Ms. Demboski.
Well, there's no doubt that Title 21 is going to make construction in Anchorage more expensive. It's going to mandate, the government's going to mandate to people more of what they have to do with their own property. But for Chugach Eagle River, you know, when it comes to roads, road standards aren't clearly defined moving forward. It's not done. We're going to have to actually develop what our roads should look like in Anchorage, because one thing I know talking to my neighbors is people in Chugach Eagle River do not want to give the city an 80-foot easement with sidewalks on both sides of their streets and street lighting going up and down the road. And you know, the current version just doesn't clearly define that we have a different rural characteristic than Anchorage, and I think it's important that we do have that.
Thank you, Mr. Lupo.
Well, I'm for having Eagle River become autonomous. I'd like to see Eagle River do its own planning. I think we should be separated from the municipality, and I've had a lot of negative response to that, and I've had a lot of positive response to it. So I think that needs to be looked at. We have 33,000 residents now in the Eagle River, Chugach, Peters Creek area. We can handle things. In the 1970s, we had considerably less people out there, and it was not beneficial for us to separate from the municipality. I think at this time we do have a good chance of sustaining ourselves, and I'd like to see that, and then we'll do our own Title 21.
Desha Eaton, your serve.
This is for Ms. Demboski. Have you taken the bus lately?
No.
Well, maybe you can answer this question. If you haven't taken the bus, it might be kind of hard. But what can be done to improve public transportation, you know, especially given the loss of federal dollars that we're looking at right now that support a lot of our public transportation? Any suggestions?
Well, there's a couple things. I don't think the answer is all in public transportation. Out in Chugach Eagle River, our bus service is really lacking. We only have a couple of bus routes that run in the morning and the afternoon. And unlike Anchorage, it doesn't have spokes. It doesn't run off. You have a couple drop-off locations. But the bigger issue in Chugach Eagle River is also taxi cab service. We don't have it in Chugach Eagle River, and it's really important that our people, when they that live in our area, when they leave a bar or when they want to go to the dentist or if they want to go to Walmart, that they can pick up the phone and call somebody that can help. And so I think, you know, not only the public transportation aspect of it, you know, more routes in Eagle River, but I also think we really have to work on the taxi cab situation in Eagle River.
Okay. Mr. Lupo.
Amy's got it all together. I'll tell you what, the taxi cab problem, when I've gone to meetings about that, The cab drivers in Anchorage do not want to come to Eagle River because it's not cost effective. If you're in a bar and you need to get home and it's going to be a $3 or $4 fare, they don't want to drive all the way out here to do that. We have individuals that can service, be a taxi cab service in Eagle River and the Eagle River, Chugiak, Peters Creek area, and they they're not allowed to do it. So I would like to see that there, and I'd like to see smaller buses with more frequent service. We don't need to have huge buses that are expensive to run. We can get by with shorter buses, smaller ones, and we can increase the number of times that they were on a route.
Okay, Mr. Mulcahy.
Tried to ride the bus and have been able to do it a few times, but it is so sparse out there in Chugiak Eagle River, it's very difficult. I ride the bus in so I can take my bike and ride home, but it's just so difficult because it's so sparse. We were able to solve this problem on Fort Richardson. People Mover couldn't do it. The military can't do it. Too many regulations. So we went to the private sector, nonprofit, and got donor support. So the Armed Services YMCA, when I was director there, I started that service, and it's been continuing free service. I think they charge $1 now anywhere on the base. And that has solved the majority of the issue there. So we need to do the same thing, not only taxi cab, but there are organizations out there in Chugiak, businesses who run limousines, would be willing to run limousines, taxis, the shuttle bus services, those kind of services. There are people interested in providing them, but right now there's too many rules in the way that we need to get those rules out of the way and let these people provide the services in that community.
Okay, this time we'll start with Mr. Lupo. Let's not mince words. The Port of Anchorage is a mess. Millions of dollars have been wasted on port expansion, and now the city is suing various engineering firms. What went wrong? Who's responsible? What is to be done?
Whoever designed the thing and whoever hired those individuals is responsible. They're the ones that ultimately have to handle the problem. I don't know anything about the Port of Anchorage. I mean, okay. Why would I?
Mr. Mulcahy.
If you haven't read the lawsuit, you need to read the lawsuit. It is better than fiction. It is amazing how much went wrong and how early we knew it and how poorly we handled the problems as we identified them. So. The lawsuit is six different counts, so we need to continue to provide that litigation. But now the contractors with the Corps of Engineers has developed some courses of action that we need to do a good analysis of. The muni's in the process of trying to decide how to package those RFPs to go out to the public, to the private sector, to try to figure our way forward. But we need to continue the litigation, make a movie out of the lawsuit, and make some money, and then let's get private sector fixing this.
Ms. Nemboski.
Well, one thing we have to remember is MARAD, the Maritime Administration, a federal program, federal administration was in charge of this program when they started. So when we talk about who's to blame, you know, the buck has to stop somewhere. And the federal government, you know, is part of the problem. And I think when we regain local control and we have the city involved more intimately, I think we'll have more control on the outcome of the project. But there's just no doubt that litigation needs to be pursued. The people that designed it, the people that went forward, they're going to be held responsible in a court. And I think that's appropriate because, quite frankly, taxpayers, whether it's state, local, or federal, taxpayers should not be on the hook when somebody makes these types of errors.
Okay, Deshaun, what looks like our final question in this
segment. All
right,
back
segment.
To you. We'll go to Mr. Mulcahy. So NSTAR and others have said we're facing a natural gas shortage. What can local government do to keep this from happening at this point?
Well, the mayor initiated the drawdown, whatever, I forget the proper term, where he put out a warning that says everybody, let's lower consumption during this period. That's one of the things we can do. But local government, we're really kind of somewhat at the victim of the state and the federal tying up the resources. But we need to get advocate and put pressure on the state to get moving to solve this. We need to get more drilling in the Beluga. I'm convinced there's more gas here in Cook Inlet, and we need to get government out of the way and get some gas pipeline moving.
And let's go to Ms. Dembosky for the second.
Well, there's absolutely no doubt locally, you know, we can start to try to encourage people to control consumption. But we really have to, as local residents, push the state, our state representatives, to try to get more exploration in the area, get more gas to market. Because quite frankly, we're looking at an energy crisis, and we're going to be barging in gas when we have a ton of it out in the inlet, which is incredibly sad. You know, quite frankly, we have the resources here in Alaska. Let's use them. But it's going to take pressure from local residents contacting their state representatives to actually get a solution.
Okay, Mr. Lupo.
Well, of course, we all need to control what kind of energy we use. I have a lot of solar panels that I've been putting together, but my electric bill isn't that bad. I would think that this really needs to be looked at much more seriously than it is. We should, I would like to see one of the things for transporting the gas, liquefy it and expand the railroad. We could import gas from Canada. We could ship gas to Canada. I'd like to see that 500-mile stretch of railway put together where we connect with Canada, and a lot of our goods and services that are trucked in now could be run in by.
Okay, thank you. We do railroad. Have time for one more quick question. If you visit LUSAC Library, and we're going to start with you, Ms. Dombowski, you will find it often crowded in all of our libraries in this region. Are we appropriating enough money to meet the needs of libraries?
Quite frankly, I think the fundamental role of government is public safety, infrastructure, and education. So it's about, we have a finite amount of funds, and we have to prioritize those funds. And you know, I would say in the current economic climate that we're in, with the different deficits that we've had, I think public safety, infrastructure, and education need to come first. So at this point, I'm not advocating for expanding libraries. I think we need to support libraries because I think libraries are part of the education function. But at this point, you know, there's just not enough money to give everybody everything.
Mr. Lupo.
I totally support libraries. You know, I had an eighth grade education. I mean, I have my 3 degrees now, but I spent much of my childhood in the New York public libraries. And reading. And people should never sell our libraries short. They are necessary. People go to them, they acquire their information, and you might have the internet, but I'll tell you what, sitting down with a good book is
Thank you,
great.
Mr. Lupo. And finally, Mr. Mulcahy.
Well, my wife's a librarian at Beggars Middle School, so it's pretty obvious I have to support libraries. And I believe our Eagle River branch is the second most utilized library in the system. I think where funding is okay, but what we've got, again, there's too many provisions that limit the creative solutions, the use of volunteers. There's other options that we're doing to make the library more accessible for the people who want to use it. So I think we need to be creative in there and get government out of the way.
Thank you, Ms. Dombowski, Mr. Lupo, and Mr. Mulcahy. Please stay with us. We will hear from candidates for a West Anchorage Assembly seat next.